Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think 7-5 counts as better enough to justify bringing back, you know, a coach for year four who's been 11-14 through two seasons and isn't recruiting very well right now. That was Hugh's thing last year, was he could point to that recruiting class and say, hey, brighter days are coming. Well, you only get to play that card once. He's already played it, and so now it has to look better on the field, because Hugh Freeze isn't the only guy who could recruit to Auburn. We know this. It's not the number one place to recruit to, but it's not a bad place to recruit to. So you can't just say, keep me for recruiting, particularly when you're not recruiting well anymore. So I think 8-4 probably gets you to another season. I'd feel better about 9-3, though.
All right, and then the proverbial hot seat man, Sam Pittman.
Oof.
I don't know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does another bowl game save him?
It might. I don't know how he gets there. But if he could get there, I mean, 7-5 in a bowl game, that could probably save him. I do think so. Like, I have him on my hottest seat in the conference because
the non-con is not a save your job non-conference schedule.
Yeah, he plays Notre Dame, plays Memphis, plays Arkansas State. You know, you can't lose to Memphis and Arkansas State, and then you figuring you're taking a loss on Notre Dame. And he just, here's the other thing about Pittman. I mean, his recruiting is just like fair to middling. It's not great. They've had a problem there for multiple years now with player retention. And then you look at him and you hear him talk, and it's like he doesn't inspire a lot of belief at this point that brighter days are coming. He just, You get the feeling that, like, this was a good guy for the moment. He was a bridge away from the miserable Chad Morris era. But it's almost just like he's out of steam. And I know he's not saying that, but he's already indicated that he's retiring whenever this ends at Arkansas. Now, he wants to go out on his own accord, and he's told On Three that he wants to coach three more seasons. But, boy, that's a tough sell to keep someone when he's saying publicly, like, I'm going to be done after three seasons. And then, so after this season, you're going to keep him for two more. I don't know. I mean, maybe if it gets to 7-5, you can kick the can down the road one more year. But at that point, it's just like, you're kind of accepting another 7-5 season. Right. And at some point, I think you just have to flush it and move on. So I might even say he's got to get to 8-4. I normally would say, you know, 7-5 for a coach who's not inflammatory. Like, they seem to like him well enough there. 7-5 might buy another
scandal
year,
free. Like, for the most part, you know, like, you're not having to worry about anything.
Yeah, and Arkansas fans are probably by November going to be pretty excited about their basketball team, maybe. So, but still, like, when he's openly said, "I got 3 years left in me," and you get to the end of this year, it's like, I don't know. Do you let the guy play out the string, or you just say, we're going to shake your hand and stuff $10 million in it. Thanks for your services. I think that might be kind of tempting.
God, what is the path? All right, so you got to beat Alabama A&M. You got to beat Arkansas State. Okay, like, this is just such a bizarre stretch of at Ole Miss, go back to Fayetteville at Memphis. Like, you're doing that I-40 drive. Enjoy it. Then you host Notre Dame. Then you've got Tennessee at Tennessee, A&M at home, Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, at LSU, at Texas, at Missouri. So it's like, all right, your formula is what? Alabama, it's 3-1 in non-con, and then what, picking off four of Ole Miss, State, Auburn, Missouri, I guess maybe throw A&M in there, but like, I don't know, like, you got to win four of those games, and it's like, okay, I'm not saying that I think they're going winless in those games, like, chances are they're probably going to pick off one, maybe two, but it's like, are they going to win four? That's where it starts to get tough.
I mean, it kind of smells like about a 5-7, 6-6 type of season. And is that enough to get Sam Pittman back for another one? I kind of lean no, because it wouldn't just be a one-off at that point. I mean, you know, last year he goes 7-6. The year before it was 4-8. You know, you stack another 6-6 in there, and it's just like, You've topped out at that point. You go 4-8, 7-6, 6-6. Like, you've revealed to the world what you are with this guy. And it's like, yeah, they had this nice season in 2021. They beat Texas. They go 9-4. But that's pretty far in the rearview mirror now. So if you're bringing a guy back after 4-8, 7-6, and say 6-6, you've told everybody we are comfortable accepting mediocrity with a coach who's told us he plans to retire in a couple years. That's not really the signal you need to send. And that's why I have Sam Pittman on the hottest seat. I mean, sure, I think if he wins enough, he can get off of it. Any of these guys can get off
sure.
of it. It's just, it's hard to envision for me a scenario in which Sam Pittman is back next year.
I mean, I guess the only thing you could say is, has Cal convinced, like, all the money people, like, you know, hey, we're doing this my way. And it's like, are they just kind of becoming the Kentucky? Because I do think this is going to be an interesting thing as we wrap up with you. I think a lot of these teams are going to have to start in the next couple of years coming to this realization. Hey, we can't win in everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's
no, that's true. And with Sam Pittman, though, like, I can't remember the number I have in there, but I think the buyout for him is the
it goes to like
it's the what cheapest
is it,
of anybody
half?
On this list that we've talked about.
Is it cheaper than Hughes? Because I thought the other thing about Hughes that was nice is you could spread it out over the length of the deal.
Yeah, Hughes got that nice one where you're just doing like the Bobby Bonilla thing, just shelling money at him for years. Not quite Bobby Bonilla length, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Pittman, I think the total dollars might be a tick less than Hughes, but that is nice with Hughes that you can just spread his buyout out over the course of years. And so it's just a line on the budget, you know, a couple million bucks, you hide it in the budget and that's that every year for a few years. With Pittman, you know, he also has that weird thing in his clause. If his record gets below 500 since 2021, he becomes cheaper to fire, but he just won't do it. And I got to give it the guy that, like, he just won't let that record since 2021 fall below 500. And hey, I mean, full credit, like, if they're going to fire him, they aren't getting that discount that clause is going to trigger, because he makes sure to keep his record from falling below 500 since 2021. I mean, that's one of the goofy little storylines about college football that I love. You know, you just find something random in somebody's contract, and then you just see this guy, like, he will not let that record go to the point where Arkansas can save a few million bucks. Now, it's almost like to the detriment of Arkansas sometimes that he goes out there and wins a game that maybe he's not supposed to. This guy just won't go below 500.
It's like the predecessor to another guy on your list, Mark Stoops. It's like forever the contract kept getting extended with a raise. It's like if he won six games.
Right.
Like, then like now
it is finally out of his contract now. But then,
right.
But now the deal is, well, it's
now you're paying him like $10
million. $10 million to get rid of him.
Yes. All right, man. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you.
That is Blake Topmeyer, of course, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. We come back. Let's take a quick break. We'll get into the list. Bill Conley's got his SEC preview. We'll discuss that and more from the world of sports. We'll do it next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. Bill Conley's SEC projections. All right, Georgie, we got our Bill Conley SEC preview today over at ESPN.com. And a couple of things stand out. Number one, the number two, the number four, the number five, the number nine, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 21, 25 teams all reside in the SEC. So for those counting at home, 12 of the 16 teams in the SEC are inside his SP Plus top 25. Arkansas comes in at 38, Kentucky at 43, Vanderbilt at 55, Mississippi State at 71. So the worst SEC team, according to his preseason projections, is Mississippi State at 71. What I also find just fascinating is it is kind of, this is what I think is fascinating to watch moving forward. I am not as convinced that the best team in the SEC is still the best team in the nation, but what I think is unquestionable is when you get to that run of like 10 through 30.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, like, basically, like, they have just flooded the zone from 9 through 25. And really, 9 through 17. So, they don't have 10, they don't have 12, they don't have 18, 19, or 20, but they've got the rest. Like, that's, and those are...
And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about the other day when we were looking at that middle pack of the Big Ten, middle to bottom of the Big Ten versus the middle and the bottom of the SEC.
Yes.
That middle pack of the SEC, while they might not make the playoff, they're very likely to end up in a lot of these bigger bowl games because, sure, their records aren't going to be the best because they play each other a lot. They're going to beat up on each other a lot.
This is how he writes it out. Nationally, there are eight teams projected within a touchdown of the number one ranking in SP+, and the SEC only has three of them. The Big Ten also has three, while Clemson and Notre Dame are also involved.
Yeah.
That indeed means the SEC doesn't exactly have the overwhelming odds of producing a national champion, but as I told SEC fans when the league was winning titles nearly every season, that's not a great measure of league strength. Alabama winning six titles with the best coach of all time didn't exactly say much about how good Mississippi State or South Carolina was, right? But while the SEC has let its title grip slip, the simple fact that it has 10 of the projected top 17 teams, 12 of the top 25, drop some pretty clear hints regarding which conference has the best overall depth.
It's hard to argue that. Hard to argue against that.
All right, so here's where I think it's a little bit interesting, because I think most would believe that Texas and Georgia in some order would be the most likely favorites. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
That is not what Bill Conley's system...
Well, Alabama, I think, could be in there as well, in there, which we've talked about.
Alabama is his favorite.
Okay.
With a projected average six conference wins, his algorithm gives the Crimson Tide the best chance to win the league at 16.1%.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a 30% chance of 11 or more wins. Georgia, then next, with an average conference wins of 5.9. That's a win percentage of 15, or a conference win title percentage of 15.6. Texas with a 13.6% chance of winning the league. LSU a 9.6% chance. Ole Miss a 7.4. Tennessee a 6. Florida 5.7. Oklahoma 5.4. South Carolina 5.4. A&M 5.4. And then Missouri down at 3.5. I was a little surprised, even though I don't think Missouri's roster is going to be, I was surprised that the schedule didn't factor into his numbers more, because Missouri does have unquestionably the best schedule of anyone that's going to be
a solid team. It's pretty cushy.
Okay, so he does these in order of where they appear on the calendar. We're going to do our own ranking after this. But here is what he lists as the 10 best games of the 2025 conference schedule. For those curious, that features the highest combined SP Plus ratings for both teams and a projected scoring margin of under 10 points. So he doesn't just want the best brands. He wants
the actual best games.
The best brands with
good games.
Watchable games. All right. No surprise, week one, Texas at Ohio State and LSU at Clemson. All right. The next game is September 13th, so we take a week off. Georgia at Tennessee. I was a little surprised that the computer still has this as within the 10-point margin, but I guess the fact the game is in Knoxville
certainly helps.
That
was going to be my first question.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then 2 weeks later, Alabama at Georgia.
Oof, that should be fun.
He writes, a rematch of the second-best game of 2024 from his own rankings. Aside from Ohio State, Michigan, no game did a better job of reminding us that huge college football games will still be a huge and delightful event if the national title stakes, or even if the national title stakes are dampened by a bigger playoff. Also that weekend, LSU at Ole Miss. Is it too late to redraw the schedules? Between Bama and Georgia, Oregon, Penn State, main events, and an undercard of LSU, Ole Miss, Indiana, and Iowa, TCU at Arizona State, USC, Illinois, and on top of that, everything else, South Dakota at North Dakota State. Week five might actually be too big. Goodness. I do think he's right. That weekend is not...
That's going to be a packed weekend.
That is the weekend that if you get the wedding... That's going to be the joke coming up here in a couple of weeks. If someone schedules a wedding that weekend, you have the option to not go. That's going to be the... You'll see that online.
Yeah.
All right, the next week, Texas at Florida.
Okay. I like it.
October 18th, Ole Miss at Georgia. October the 25th, so this is the following week, Alabama at South Carolina.
Okay.
November 8th, so I guess we take another week off, LSU at Alabama. And then finally, November 15th, Texas at Georgia. So
the Texas and Georgia game, like November 15th, that's pretty late in the schedule.
So the schedule...
That isn't their last game of the season, though.
I bet it's Georgia's last conference game.
So, they probably pushed the Georgia Tech game to late.
You know, we're doing that weird thing this year in the SEC where they have the same eight games.
They just flip location.
They flip location, and then also the dates are
shuffled.
Very, very shuffled up, because we're playing the Tennessee-Florida game late in the season. Because I want to say that last stretch for Florida coming down the stretch is like Tennessee, Ole Miss, or maybe it's like Georgia. Let me pull it up. I had it. This was very
looking at the Georgia. I want to look at the full Georgia schedule, because that game on the 15th is their Week 12 game.
So they've moved the cocktail party back to November 1st.
Okay.
So it goes Georgia on November 1st, at Kentucky November 8th, at Ole Miss. That's wrong. No, this is Florida's schedule. So Florida finishes with Georgia and are we doing it in Jacksonville or are we doing it in Atlanta? I think we're doing it in Atlanta this year.
I think it's in Atlanta.
At Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee at home, Florida State. So that's their close.
Georgia's close, I have it. After that Texas game, you're right, that is their last conference game. They have essentially a bye against Charlotte.
Yep.
Which I'm sure Memphis will be very locked in on.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And then, of course, Georgia Tech.
Yes. And that game. I think they've also done the thing where Georgia Tech was trying to sell tickets, so they moved it to the Mercedes-Benz.
Let me check that. It's going to be an ABC game.
I think they've listed.
It's at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I think they've, because it's like listed as versus Georgia Tech, but
as opposed to at.
Correct.
Or, yeah.
And it's not a home game. So I guess the ones that would be a little bit of a surprise not to see on the list, we do not have Tennessee, Florida, even though Tennessee and Florida's Georgia games both appear on the list, right?
Yes.
No Texas, Texas A&M.
When and where are they playing that game this year?
This year will be in Austin.
I think that's my biggest question.
I think it's Austin, last game of the year.
It is, yeah. That's their rivalry weekend game. I am surprised that's not on there.
Okay, so if we're power ranking, are we going to say because of the stakes of the league, you're going to favor a league game versus a non-league game in terms of, like,
so those, like,
would you favor a league game over Texas at Ohio State or LSU at Clemson?
It also probably, but I think as well when those games appear on the schedule. So because Texas and Ohio State and then LSU Clemson are week one, there is a ton of time after that to kind of really see where these teams are at, right?
Yes.
Now, I understand those are all probable or at the very least potential playoff teams. So those are maybe not LSU, but we'll see. They do have a lot of talent as well. And we think Brian Kelly needs to get at least closer to the playoff this year.
Yeah, I think the other aspect is usually on week one, you're usually just pretty geeked up for football in general. Like I've always said, we didn't need it as bad. Like 2 years ago, week one was awful.
Yes.
You don't need it that bad. But like, I also don't need...
We don't need to stack it like this.
Yeah, like because then you always... It's like, we do this weird thing of, if week one's great, week two sucks. Like, I kind of want like a good mix. And this year it's pretty balanced. All right, so
now those week one games, are those on campus or are those
both
shuffled
are,
other
both
places?
Are on campus.
Ooh.
At the Horseshoe.
Okay.
At Clemson's Death Valley.
Death Valley Light.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know. I think I refer to that as Death Valley and I refer to the other one as Tiger Stadium. And that's not even like the, I'm not trying to call it Death Valley. It's like, I think of it as Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, it's.
Like, Death Valley to me becomes like a moniker rather than...
Of Tiger Stadium.
Like, I don't... Now, granted, it also helps if I say Tiger Stadium, you know what I'm talking about. But if I say Memorial Stadium, do you know what I'm talking about? There's a bunch... Like, you know what I mean?
There's a bunch of Memorial Stadiums. I probably think, weirdly enough, of the one in Little Rock.
Like, that's not even like a trying to pick at LSU thing. Like, that's,
no.
That's just how I conceptualize. Okay. I'm kind of moving Georgia at Tennessee to the bottom of my list. Are you good with that?
Yes. I think we're just not...
What? Okay, here's the thing that I'm struggling with.
I think we're just unsold on Tennessee's offensive situation.
Yeah,
right
I do think that's better. But this is one I'm not as sold on, but I don't know why I'm not more excited for this game. In terms of we're talking about the best of the best. I'm not talking about in terms of the week of the game, I'm not going to be fired up for it.
Sure.
But why... I honestly have Alabama at Georgia, like, kind of middle of the pack. And I don't know why. And I think it's maybe because I'm not sold on any of the quarterbacks.
That was my... So, and that's my big thought with the upcoming rankings, just in general, where both Alabama and Georgia land, is how unsold we are on both Ty Simpson and Gunnar Stockton if they end up being the starters for next season.
Yes.
We're not even sure if that's the case yet.
Like, I can make a case that this next game I would draft higher simply because this game always gets drunk and it's fun. The LSU Ole Miss game.
That game is always,
it's always
up to 100. It is as wild and ridiculous as possible.
Now, with all due respect to my Ole Miss brethren, Vaught Hemingway doesn't exactly pump up the juices.
Having been to both plenty of night games there and more than one night game at Tiger Stadium?
Well, I think this one's going to be a 2:30.
Ooh.
I don't think they've announced it, but my suspicion is 2:30.
So September 27th, also the Alabama-Georgia. That's right. Definitely getting the night slot, 100%.
And I would think LSU-Ole Miss is going to be 2:30 right before it.
Oh, yeah. Because there's no way they put that at 11.
Well, or they could do the...
Oh, is it the weird like 4:30 flex type thing?
Well, no, I think you could technically do the... You could put it on ESPN at 6. So, like, you have... Alabama, Georgia would be the ABC, whatever.
Prime time, night
game. I want to say that's 6:30, but they usually don't like, there's usually not an SEC game going up against an SEC game on ESPN versus ABC. Like, they'll obviously have the SEC Network game.
Sure.
Or they'll have.
Which is one of your 11 o'clock, yeah. And then your midday there.
But if you made me guess, that's the 2:30 game.
I'd agree. But we don't have the times yet.
No, we don't have the time. I think we only did the times for the first 3 weeks. Let's see, because that one's not listed at all, but see, that would be week 5?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's TBD. So, all right, let's look at the SEC games that week. This is one of my favorites to predict, if I can predict the TV windows. All right, we're both going to say Bama and Georgia. That's already been announced.
Is that the ABC night game?
ABC, yeah. 6:30 Central Time. They've also already announced that the 11 a.m. game is Notre Dame and Arkansas.
Okay.
So that means they're choosing between...
So they've got...
So here would be the
2:30 ABC.
So the 2:30 options for ABC would be Ole Miss at LSU. Or I'm sorry, LSU at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn at A&M.
Okay. It's not horrible.
And I think those are going to rank higher than the other two conference games would be Tennessee at Mississippi State.
No.
And then Kentucky at South Carolina. I think the SEC games...
It's going to be between the Auburn A&M game and then the LSU Ole Miss game.
All right. And so I'm trying to think what the other... Okay, so the other possibilities are... Because they've only announced the SEC Network early game. So one of those could be the SEC Network night games.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have...
SEC Network early game there. Oh, well, early-ish game. The 11:45 is Utah State at Vandy.
Yeah. I'm going to call it. I think LSU Ole Miss is going to get it, and I think they're going to put Auburn and A&M on the SEC Network.
I think that's probably... that's a fair bet.
Records, but like at that point,
is it not just like for the brand?
Hang on. So Ole Miss opens Georgia State at Kentucky, Arkansas, Tulane. I will say if Ole Miss is 4-0, I think that game is it. Because even if LSU loses to Clemson, I still think that game would get it.
Agreed.
Although. What if LSU... So LSU's schedule starts off at Clemson, La Tech, Florida, C-Law. What if they lose...
They're 2-2?
Yeah. Now...
I don't think that really...
That Florida-LSU game has kind of been like, all right, the better team can up... The better team can lose on the road, but not... They've been kind of holding serve at home.
And that one is not in this list of 10 best games.
Correct.
From SP+.
Correct. Texas at Florida, that one kind of surprised me that it was in there. But I think at Florida.
Yeah, that one could be fun. Again, I think because that's late enough in the season, we'll kind of see where those teams are at.
What was Texas's biggest road game last year? Was it A&M?
I think so.
Like, this will be the first, like.
True road SEC game.
Well, I mean, like, my thing is they've, like, the good old-fashioned Eastern Division sweatbox.
Yeah. And the Swamp is a perfect place for that, too. You're always going to get it there.
Ole Miss at Georgia.
Last time I saw that, I watched about 5 minutes and turned it off.
Yeah, I mean... like
that tells you anything.
They haven't lost this decade at Georgia.
No.
Georgia at home has not lost this decade. Their last loss was 2019. Bama at South Carolina...
It could have a little juice. It could.
I will admit part of that is my fade on South Carolina.
Yeah.
But it's likely going to be the South Carolina night game, and that place gets rocking.
Yeah.
LSU at Alabama. Again, I think in past years the game's gotten a little overrated. With that being said, like, it's appointment viewing.
100%.
It's always. And then Texas at Georgia. There's just kind of this weird reality of it's like the way that Georgia beat them in Austin, and then the fact that they won the SEC title game with Gunnar Stockton in and really only hitting one pass that I thought was of actual significance. Like that throw to that throw on the sideline to Delpit, I thought was a good throw.
Yeah.
After that, it was like check down city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just
it
like
was just take care of the football.
Correct. And it's just like Kirby has a pretty good plan for Texas. Okay, so give me your top three.
My top three in here, it is really hard not to grab one of those week one games.
I know. I mean, it's that, also that hard Texas, to not grab both of them.
I know.
Because those are
Ohio.
Also going to be outstanding uniform games. Oh, honestly, yes. the biggest mark I have against Texas Ohio State is simply
boring uniforms.
It's at 11. It's big noon.
Oh, that's right, because it's at Ohio State. Yeah. Ugh. Okay.
That's the only problem I have with it.
That might knock it down. Maybe a slot, but LSU at Clemson should be a ton of fun. I just want to see that being an all-offensive game, having Klubnik and Nussmeier just slinging the rock up and down the field.
And ESPN will do a good job with the buses going to the rock, like all that. That'll be a elite pregame showing us the atmosphere.
Great viewing.
Yeah.
Awesome viewing. So I think I'm going to take LSU-Clemson.
All right.
Let me get... I am going to take LSU at Ole Miss. I just know that game is always, like you said, drunk. That game's cracked out every single time.
Even like last year when it started not cracked out, it just gets... like.
Oh,
just,
by the time that game went to overtime, yeah. Like you're like, okay, this is going to be ridiculous. And then give me Texas at Georgia. I do think that game late in the season, that one for me is a stakes game because there's going to be massive, massive importance on that game. Should be. Of course, we say should be, but it... where that game lands late in the season, both those teams just really have either one or no SEC games after it.
I also, to your point about the stakes, that does feel like the type of game that if Texas goes on the road and wins that one,
oh my God,
you are thinking like, all right, this is theirs.
Yeah.
And then like you'll have the whole arch scene of between the hedges if they give Georgia their first loss, you can see it. But then you can also see where Texas shows up rolling and they get punched in the mouth and you're just like...
And Georgia, you're like, Georgia's still here.
Yeah.
Kirby's still got it.
Just a reminder of Georgia is still here. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into a couple other notes from the world of sports as well as what's on tap for this weekend. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. All right, George, before we get into... what we've got this weekend, I wanted to quickly discuss this. So there's a clip going around on socials.
Yep.
Of CJ McCollum on The Young Man in the Three.
Mm-hmm.
Discussing the impact of the new CBA. You shouldn't be punished for drafting well. And he goes into the examples of the teams like Oklahoma City, but teams that have drafted well, when they get into the point of having to pay, you end up having to make the decisions to let people go. Do you know what CJ McCollum was doing when the collective bargaining agreement was ratified?
Correct me if I'm wrong. He was on the NBA Players Association board?
He was the president of the NBA Players Association Executive Committee. And this is what always drives me insane, because I feel like I always hear it from the NBA players more than any other players. There were two big complaints that you've been hearing from the players. This is one. And the other one was they've killed free agency. During the negotiations, every advisor told them, listen, guys, this is going to impact free agency. And furthermore, this was when Sam Presti decided to get all of the draft picks. That wasn't by coincidence. It was him recognizing, because he's on the competition committee, he knew where it was headed, and he said the value is going to be in picks, and he started targeting teams that he thought it was going to be bad, and figuring out that way.
Capitalizing on players while they're still young and on that rookie contract.
But they all did the move of, well, the owners basically threw out a spike in revenue early, and they all took that. My deal is, I'm not saying you're evil for doing so. What I am saying is you lose the right to complain. Like, everyone warned you this was going to be an issue, and they doggedly went through with it.
And here's my thing, too. Sure, we can complain about how free agency is gone, yada, yada. It's gonna jump up again whenever the new TV deal comes into play and the cap spikes. That happens in every sport. Every sport that happens. We've even seen it in the NBA in the last 10 years. The other thing in that complaint, I don't understand how this actually kills or hurts teams that draft well. It doesn't. You, as the team that drafted a player, have the exclusive rights to give these players the term of contract. Those players that want to stay on a team for as long as they possibly can, because for whatever reason they like it, they were drafted there, they developed there, whatever the reason is, you as that team have the only right to give them the biggest contract possible.
So I think inherent in their argument, though, is they're trying to spin it in a way that people will agree with, which is, I think most everybody goes, yeah, you should be able to keep your players. But what they're really actually scared of is, our teams now, so forever it was like, when your guy, because I think DeMichael had the stat.
Yeah.
There were 13 players that were Supermax eligible.
And it was only the one.
Gobert was the only one that did not sign the Supermax extension. They reworked another deal that basically gave him more money up front.
It was a front-loaded, yeah, non-Supermax contract.
But he's the only one that did not sign the Supermax. I do think what they are actually worried about is there are more teams now that are going to do the, are we really going to pay this?
That's more of an apron slash potential penalty problem versus keeping our guys at home problem.
Well, I think, though, then it becomes this question of, so to me, like, part of the issue was, how many guys have really, when you think back to it, truly deserved a Supermax? Because to me, the answer in the Supermax era, LeBron?
Yeah.
Steph?
Absolutely.
Durant?
Yep.
Jokic?
Mm-hmm.
Giannis?
Still with you.
And probably Luka.
And Luka can't get one.
Correct. Luka can't. Well, now he can't get one, but it would have been this summer, which was part of their whole spin zone of, well, we weren't. They spun it. We didn't know if he was going to sign the deal. It's like, no, Luka.
He would have signed the
deal. Luka would have signed the deal. You may not have want to paid him or whatever else was going on. Like that. That, to me, kind of ends the, Like, Jaylen Brown's good player. Is Jaylen Brown worth, whatever, $60 million a year?
Probably not. But here's, and there's only one other one that we're not sure yet, and that's SGA.
Yeah.
MVP level player, obviously, just won MVP. Awesome, fantastic, won a title. We're not sure yet, though.
I put SGA's the same thing to me as Tatum, where it's like, he's undeniably a great player, but I don't know if he's like the other ones. And honestly, I think it's fair to say, like, we've seen Luka get a team to the finals. I think it's fair to have questions about Luka.
Sure.
So if you, but like, the other guys, and also now the other guys are aged out to where I don't think LeBron, Steph, and Durant are worth it. But like, I also understand, like, hey, that's not how the league works.
Yeah. But the thing is, they're also not getting contracts to that number anymore.
All right, so this is the other thing that's interesting about this weekend, because you and I were talking about it off the air. The NFL is going to shove back together weekend down our throats. And this is one of those weird things where it's like, we like to think we can't get enough football, especially like at this point of the calendar. But I always find when they just start posting up at camps and they start shoving everything down our throats, I can get enough football. Because here's the biggest problem with back together weekend. And I don't know, maybe I'm alone in this. I do not care about the super corny softball, let's all sit down in these director's chairs, three-person interview. And that's what a lot of it is. Because the teams have it to where you can only so, like, listen, if they were filming practice, I'd be much more in on this.
Oh, yeah.
But basically, you'll get the highlights of, like, one-on-one, and then it's everybody sitting down, and I just do not care about those interviews.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, there are going to be some highlights, like the one that from yesterday, the presser with Jared Verse talking about the Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was a great story.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
I can catch that clip on social.
It was great.
Yeah.
But that was on socials. I'm not going to sit down and watch that on ESPN.
Like, I'm not posting up waiting for this. All right, then the other concern that I have is I've made my stance on the Little League World Series televised product well known. Is this week a precursor? Am I going to just flip on ESPN and see the Little League softball? I don't even think this is not even the regionals. All right, this isn't even the World Series. This is the regionals.
No, these are regionals, yeah, that are on right now.
And it's been like wall to wall. And with all due respect to all the girls, I'm glad you're getting your face on, but like, that is really taking a large chunk of the viewing population for me.
I guess it doesn't help matters that there's not a whole lot of great events going on this weekend.
I'll tell you what else kills me too is after the All-Star break, the Cardinals got swept by the D-backs and then went to Colorado and lost 2 out of 3. They did win last night, but they're already getting, Helsey is saying 90% chance he thinks he's getting traded. The Cardinals announced to me post All-Star break, don't care. And so like that, this is kind of, as the calendar's starting to turn to August, if your team's in the race, like, that's when you can start to be like, all right, this is meaningful baseball.
Yeah.
I'm now in the thing where it's like, okay, I kind of want my team to be a seller.
It's the let's see what happens coming up to deadline day.
Yeah. And that's not exactly fun as a viewing experience. All right, are we in agreement the best sports event on the calendar this weekend is Spa?
Absolutely.
The F1 race?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so we'll take one more break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we've got to go to the Nintendo Today app that blasted out the message, Princess Peach and Mario are good friends and help each other out whenever they can. Whoever is running that social account needs to know that you used to, I believe it was Super Mario 2, when you got to one of the end of the stages, Mario rescues the princess and kisses her.
Yeah.
So they're saying they're not in a relationship. I can't.
That's news to me.
Can't tell if that's gaslighting us or whatnot. All right, my man. I want to thank everybody for listening. Want to also thank Blake Topmeyer for being on the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.